The Time Traveling Cat and the Tudor Treasure, written by Julia Jarman and read by David Collins.
Chapter 1. Topher Hope turned the key in the door of 35 Arberton Road. It stuck a bit at first, and he thought it wasn't going to open. The lock was a modern one, with several burglar-proof devices in it, though the door was old-fashioned, like the house. Peering through the coloured glass, Topher could see Carr sitting on the black and white tiles of the hall floor, haloed in the afternoon sunlight. She was staring at the door, and he longed to feel her fur beneath his hand. He loved this time of day, the hour or so they had together before his dad came home from work. He thought about it from time to time while he was still at school. "I won't be a sec, Carr." He jiggled the key in the lock, thrilled that she was there. Because she wasn't always, though she usually appeared quite soon, from the top of the house or from the back garden through the cat flap in the kitchen door. The front door opened at last.
"Meow."
She was beside him in an instant, winding herself round his legs. He stooped to stroke her, and she jumped on his back, then onto the hall stand, then onto his shoulder. He watched her in the hall stand mirror, rubbing her head against the side of his. She was the most beautiful cat he'd ever seen. He'd never stop thinking that. Her golden fur, flecked with black and white, rippled as she purred ecstatically. "Topher. Topher." She seemed to speak, sometimes did speak. "I'm so pleased to see you." The ankh, the key-like mark on her forehead, which was the Egyptian sign of life, shone, glossy and black, as she gently head-butted him. Her amber eyes were huge, the pupils mere flecks in the sunlight. "Don't ever leave me, Carr." He spoke to her reflection. She had left him once. It had been dreadful till he'd found her.
"Never, never."
He could feel her purrs as he stroked her throat. "If you go, you must tell me."
"Of course, of course."
She sprang down and set off towards the kitchen, her two long tails stuck in the air. He followed. "And you must take me with you." But now she was more interested in food. One leap, and she was on the draining board, nudging her dish towards him. He reached for some whiskers and the tin opener. "Out of the way, Carr!" For an intelligent cat, a remarkably intelligent cat, she was a bit stupid where food was concerned. "You'll get your whiskers caught." She was pushing his hand with her head, but he managed to open the tin without trapping any of her long white whiskers, and as she ate, nosing the bits she didn't like over the edge onto the floor, like any fussy cat, except for her exceptional beauty, he thought about how extraordinary she was. She had travelled to ancient Egypt once, and so had he. Sometimes, looking at her and looking at himself, he could hardly believe it had happened. Nobody would call him exceptionally anything, though his friend Ellie's mum said she envied him his blonde hair. Carr finished eating, then,
"Meow,"
in a particular way, which meant, "Sit down, Topher, I need your lap." So he went into the sitting room, picked up the TV guide, and settled himself on the sofa. Then he turned to Tuesday's programmes, and Carr appeared beneath the guide, making it impossible to read.
"Put it down, Topher, put it down. Pay attention to me."
So he picked up the remote control and flicked through the channels. There was tennis, Wimbledon was on, a lot of children screaming in a game called Finders Keepers or Plucky Duck. He watched the cartoon, with difficulty, as Carr settled herself right under his chin.